Hey, guys.
Hey.
Do you know people actually listen to this podcast?
What?
And they actually send in their paranormal stories.
Nice. Hey, that's fantastic.
Sounds weird?
Well, it sounds really good.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. We're going to read some stories. Let's go. Friends, welcome to Paranormal Punchers. I'm Mark.
I'm Alicia.
I'm Nash.
I'm Dave.
And on this episode, finally, we've been talking about it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to read some paranormal stories from our listeners. First, thank you guys for sending in stuff. Second, hopefully, we don't wreck it with our great verbal skills that we have here.
Yeah. That's right.
You've all heard mine. So.
Yep. No one will forget the flatbread truck.
Yeah.
It is in the podcast Book of Eternity.
Yeah.
Now, since it's a listener episode, I'm going to start out with some shout-outs.
Yeah.
Got a new review on iTunes. This person says, the best.
Nice.
I mean, he's accurate so far.
Mm-hmm.
this one's by Maze in PA. I stumbled across the podcast in iTunes a few days ago. I have been listening nonstop. Love that you guys are local to me, Marietta Maytown.
Oh, yeah.
And some of my favorite watering holes. So keep up the great work.
Awesome.
Well, Maze of PA.
Thank you.
Yeah. You might just run into us.
That's right.
Definitely can find us at Funk. That's a no-brainer.
Yep.
Columbia Kettle Works. We love that.
Occasionally Kettle Works.
Blue Duck.
Right. Yep.
So thanks for taking the time to bang out a 5-star review for us. Be as cool as Maze. Hit 5 stars. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and got an awesome tweet from Twitter handle Cardio B.
Mm-hmm.
A tweet?
Twitter? Tweet? Tweet?
Tweet?
Is it a tweet? Is it a tweet?
I don't know.
We're all old, so you have to pardon us here.
So he left a comment on our Twitter feed. Listening to Paranormal Punchers makes the workday way more enjoyable. Might be a new fave podcast.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and nice. I was like, awesome, thank you so much. And then he responded with, I'm not saying I listened to 7 episodes today, but ... Well, it was actually 9 or 10.
Awesome.
Wow, in a day. Holy moly. Wow.
Thanks, dude. That's Appreciate that.
Yikes.
Man, hey, if you want to be cool, we'd send him a tweet. Leave a comment. Twitter handle is what? @P Punchers.
@P Punchers. Yep.
Oh, yep. That's our.
That's awesome. We're doing great today.
Yep.
All right. So we got some nice submissions here. Some very cool things. Like I said, we're going to try to read these live.
Mm-hmm.
So we might mess up. We might have to repeat a sentence or two.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to have to deal with it. So,
that's right.
Now, the funny thing is we got some short stories. We got some medium-length stories. We got one long story from John in Indiana. We gave that to Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Dave's missed, what, 3 or 4 episodes?
So his penance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm back from the dead now.
Well, plus when I was emailing back and forth with John, I said, hey, you can record yourself telling the story or you can just send it in. It's all good. You just have to deal with me reading it. And he replied back, I guess it's okay if you read it. So I was like, all right. Well, we'll have Dave read it. Hey, and welcome back, Dave, all the way from Scotland.
Yep.
Man, little jealous.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, completely.
But this episode's not about Dave.
Yeah. I know.
It's about the listeners.
Right.
So, Dave, I'm going to throw you into the fire first, man.
Okay.
You got the first story from John in Indiana.
Okay, here we go. So, John from Indiana writes, I have really been into the paranormal most of my life, especially when it came to the cryptozoology. My favorite was, of course, Bigfoot. One of my favorite movies as a kid, even though it scared me when I first saw it, was Harry and the Hendersons. Well, I had always hoped to have a Bigfoot experience, but always thought I would have to travel somewhere else for it to happen, as I have lived in Indiana almost my entire life, and all Bigfoot reports I had heard were in other states. But then, while living in southern Indiana, I saw an episode of Finding Bigfoot that took place in Bloomington, Indiana, which is only about an hour away from where I lived. I also heard Bigfoot accounts firsthand from people I knew. I really started hoping to have a Bigfoot experience of my own, and as they say, be careful what you wish for. So it was 3 years ago in the spring of 2015. I was working with the kids' ministry at the church I attended, and one of the boys, who was 10, had been talking to me about running a 5K later that year. So we started training on the Riverwalk in Jasper, Indiana. Now, most people would wonder how I could have an experience on the Riverwalk since it is so close to downtown. The Riverwalk is 2 miles long, and on the north half is in a wooded area. On the side of the river that the trail is on, you are close to some buildings that are through a swampy area and some woods. But across the river is a thickly wooded hill with some open fields and a small lake behind it. We had gone to the northern part of the trail and were making our way back. We were walking and talking because we had worn ourselves out on the way up the trail. As we were walking along, we passed the area where the woods started getting thicker on the one side of the river, when we heard a substantial splash in the river about 5 feet behind us. He asked me what it was, and I brushed it off as a fish jumping, even though I am sure there are no fish big enough for a splash like that in that part of the river. It is a small river, maybe 5 to 7 feet across at the point, and shallow enough for you to see along the riverbed in many places. I would say that the biggest fish I have seen in there are about 3 inches long. We kept walking and talking and had gone about 15 feet further when we heard something big and heavy crashing through the upper branches of trees across the river. It was a loud crash, 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 followed by a loud splash in the middle of the river. I walked over to the river's edge and I could see the ripples in the water from whatever had hit it. My first thought it was a tree branch, but there wasn't one floating there. Then I thought it might have been a squirrel because there are a lot of them around here. But a squirrel wasn't big enough to make those crashes or the splash, and I didn't see one there. That's when I realized it must have been a rock, and it would have had to have been about the size of a small loaf of bread. It had been thrown at us. I had learned from shows like Monster Quest or Finding Bigfoot that Sasquatch throws rocks sometimes to chase you off. I started scanning the woods for a glimpse of what had thrown the rock at us. The boy who was with me walks up behind me and says, "Was that Bigfoot?" From my memory, we had never talked about Bigfoot up to that point. I answered, still scanning the trees, "I think it might have been." That set off a Bigfoot obsession in him, and even more of one in me. I got home that night and reported the experience to the BFRO. The boy later told me that he remembered seeing branches in the trees moving from the rock being thrown through them. That summer, we discussed Bigfoot a lot, even having a small Bigfoot hunt after dark at camp with another camp leader and some other boys. Basically, we made Bigfoot calls and did some tree knocks. The boy who had been with me on the Riverwalk says he still remembers hearing answering calls in the distance and small pebbles being thrown at us that night. The experiences from that year were capped off in the fall on a group hike in the Hemlock Cliffs in Crawford County, Indiana. The hiking trail is in a small canyon, way off the main roads, and that one was carved out by the creek that runs through it. At one part of the hike, we climbed up to the top of a cliff on one side of the canyon. It was the tallest cliff in the park. From the top of the cliff, you could see nothing but trees as far as the eye could see. The boy from the first experience came up with the idea of doing some tree knocks. So we found a heavy stick, really more of a branch, and everyone took turns doing some tree knocks. After everyone had done it, we all got quiet and listened. We could hear the faint sound of other hikers below us. Then we heard from the distance the sound of a loud howl in response to our tree knocks. We all stood there for a few minutes in shock and awe, but then we had to leave because it was getting late. So that's it. My Bigfoot experiences, which all took place in the spring, summer, and autumn of a single year.
Wow.
Holy moly. Wow.
Excellent story.
I know.
Thank you, John, for writing that. Dave, great job.
Great job reading that.
Man, I'm glad I didn't attempt to
read that. Killed on that thing. Oh, my gosh. Holy moly.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Pretty intense to have. I've heard that a lot, too, that Bigfoot will chuck rocks. That's why our commercial, Bigfoot says, "What I'm not." throwing rocks at hunters.
Right.
Intense. And the wood knocks, I've always wanted to try that.
I know.
Yeah. I wonder if it was this. I don't remember if it was like in succession, like a three knocks or a little bit more detail on the knocks here. That'd be a cool experiment to go try.
I know.
Yeah. Well, we should go try it.
Yeah, let's go do it. We have plenty
of
forest.
Let's do it.
Here.
Right. We'll take a break now.
That's right.
Let's try it out. Thank you, John.
Yeah, thank you.
Mucho gracias. Now, who would like to go next?
I'll go next.
All right.
So let's see. I've got a story from John in Delaware. So it starts off. So when I was younger, we had lots of paranormal things happen in my house. Mostly one a-hole ghost that would tend to push you or open drawers of your feet. So when you're walking by, that you'd hit your ankles on. That was happening for quite a while, and then for some reason they took about a 14-year hiatus. Nothing much happened. There was nothing. So John got a little bit older. But just this week, I think it's awakened again or something like that, because this week we've had two occurrences happen inside the house. The first was when John and his girlfriend were playing Xbox. So we both kind of looked up, and one of the hats we had hanging off of the TV started swinging back and forth on its own.
Wow.
And then eventually it was swinging so much that it ended up falling off. The second occurrence was caught on camera when he was sleeping by his girlfriend. So,
which John sent to me.
Yeah.
It's like a pot starting to sway back and forth.
Oh, really?
Now, obviously, no point to play it on a podcast where people can't see it.
Right.
But yeah, pretty cool. John, super awesome. He's been listening for a while. He's working on the chest plate, the Paranormal Puncher's chest plate.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. Okay.
I mean, I love the fact that just like, there's ghosts here. They're mostly assholes.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder what happened for the ghost to like stop for so long, and then all of a sudden it just came back.
Did just pick it back up.
What piqued its interest? You know what I mean?
What was there 14 years before that wasn't there again? Maybe, I don't know, because he was there with his girlfriend before. Maybe it was his parents.
Yeah,
or
did they start to remodel any part of the house?
Right.
Yeah. Anything that would, kick it back up.
Right, exactly. And then the other question that comes to my mind is there was a camera on he and his girlfriend while they were sleeping. I'm just saying, a big why.
No, I don't think it was like that.
I'm just saying, it was caught on camera, and there was a camera.
He or she woke up and then was filming it while the other was still kind of snoozing.
Oh, gotcha. I read that the wrong way. I was like, John, wow, right on, man.
This ain't Porno Punchers.
All right, okay.
Hey,
I stand
corrected. Probably a new podcast right there.
Copyright.
Oh, boy.
All right, we should move on from that one.
Yeah, let's quickly.
Hey, thanks, John. So he heard me talk about my desire to get a camper.
Right.
Like a used one and fix it up, trick it out and go hunt for Bigfoot. He's like, he totally would give me all kinds of tips and tricks because he is fixing up a camper.
Oh, right.
So, yeah. So, I don't know what his plans are. Probably cruising America, being a nomad. I don't know.
I wonder what would be more economical instead of doing the camper is doing a short bus. Get an actual decommissioned short bus.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. You could.
That sounds like it's going to require some work.
Uh-huh.
Well, just not just as much as a camper, as refilling a camper.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I just think it.
I don't know. But I do know.
Maybe cheaper.
That Tony from West Virginia emailed me. I'm going to jump into his story here.
Do it.
He says, I saw Bigfoot this past winter. And when spring was about to start, he ran between two houses. He didn't get any pictures. Wish he could have. Said he was very fast. Saw him two times. He heard howls at night. And from what he could tell, was about 8 or 9 feet tall with light brown hair and areas that were almost white. So he thinks that maybe it's an older one.
Okay.
Getting a little gray hair. He's got like the George Clooney of the Bigfoots out there. A little salt and pepper. he said the cops came around. They just doing a little investigation. They didn't find anything. They found some moss that was like bunched up, but you couldn't really tell if there's any footprints in it.
Okay.
And then he said someone about a quarter mile down the road saw Bigfoot also. And he thinks it's because this area is a great spot for Bigfoot to kick it. Lots of deer, lots of streams, plenty of caves that for shelter, lots of old barns, railroad tunnels, and abandoned coal mines. So a lot of food, water, and places to stay off the grid.
Right. Yeah. Places to hide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said there's other people in his area that have heard Bigfoot, seen Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
again, Tony, thank you for sending that. And he did, I replied to him, and he sent a follow-up that he felt like the other night Bigfoot was looking in his window. He just felt like he was being watched by one of them. He says he has his camera, his finger on the camera button, ready to capture some proof.
Wow.
Stay safe, dude, and have your camera ready to rock.
Or some of those, they have these the deer cameras that are motion activated cameras for night vision shots. That might be helpful around the around his place.
And he did say if we get down in the West Virginia area, he'd be glad to get us a cup of coffee and show us the area.
Nice.
Bigfoot's been stomping around. So, Tony, thank you so much for listening and contributing.
Exactly.
All right, so. This is up here.
Yeah. Okay. So this is from Jacob in Sweden. Hi, I'm a listener from Sweden. I was just listening to episode 20 and figured I'd share a story from my neck of the woods. What was episode 20?
I was just going to say that.
You keep going. I'll look it up.
Okay. All right. It's more of an old ghost story that's been floating around here since forever, but I like it. I'm from the part of Sweden who has had the highest numbers of immigrants to the U.S. There's a lot of farms around and no major cities. In fact, the region's capital only has a population of around 40,000. Anyways, on a small, tiny road between two small villages, there's a square beside the road. The ground is covered in vegetation, mostly blueberries and moss and the like. But as I said, there's a 5 by 5 feet large square where nothing grows. So this square is on the side of the road. Nothing's growing there. The ground is light brown year round and nothing grows. And what makes this story a little better, there's always a small pile of fresh spruce twigs in the middle.
Mm.
And the pile is neatly arranged, like it was purposely put there.
Okay.
There's two stories behind this, but I'll only share one of them since I think both have the same origin, but have been distorted over time. It's set in early 1700s, and Sweden had suffered years of crop failure in the 1600s, so there was a lot of people that were poor and suffering, you know. So the story goes, a mother sends out her two boys to go beg for food. And after a lot of walking around, they finally get a loaf of bread from a lady in one of the villages. The two boys they're so ecstatic. They're overjoyed that they finally were able to return home with food. And they start to toss the bread back and forth as a game, I think. When they met the farmer who'd been out drinking, I guess this guy realized that the food had come from his wife. And had given it to them. So he killed the boys in rage because obviously everybody at that point, they were starving.
Yeah.
So that he was pissed. So he killed the boys in rage and buried them by the side of the road and placed a pile of spruce branches and rubble on top of them to cover it up. Excuse me. This is a very remote location that very few people have a reason to drive by. But when I was younger and people started to get their driver's license, we went to some of the supposedly haunted locations. And I can confirm that every time we went there, the twigs appeared to be new. One time, we even tossed the twigs away around 11 at night. And when we returned later the same night, the twigs were back. And we drove away and came over a small hill. Someone or thing had put a 6-foot-tall cross made from logs in the middle of the road. And we had taken the same way just a couple of hours earlier.
Yikes.
And nothing had been there. The records here goes back to the 1600s, so I guess it would be possible to find the children, in fact, if they were murdered. But he thought it would be a good story to share with us. And I think that's really cool that he, you know, went to this location and had that kind of experience that everybody, you know, a lot of people would probably be like, it's just a tall tale or a legend of the area. But I think that's cool that it actually happened to him.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's like a very intense story. Tragic, but now you got this ghost legend. I could see like a short film being made with that concept.
Yeah.
Really cool. I'd like to say he's from Sweden.
I know.
How amazing is that?
I love it.
Jacobs listens to us in Sweden. That's amazing. Yeah. Episode 20 was Paranormal Pennsylvania.
Right. Ah, okay. Right. So, well, that makes sense then. Yeah,
super cool. Great story, Jacob. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you
for listening and sharing.
Definitely, definitely. I'll jump in. Now, I've got a story from, it's funny that we were talking about episode 20, Paranormal Pennsylvania. We've actually got a story from a gentleman named Mike here in PA.
Ooh. That's my boy, Mike, out in the Pittsburgh area.
Yep.
Right. So this one to me is a little spooky, okay? So it's I can relate to seeing, this is what Mike's saying, I can relate to seeing a shadow man, seeing the shadow man. I've seen them, I saw them all the time when I was a kid in our childhood home. And one time I saw them when I was 8 years old. I was in the attic of our house and looked over and saw a shadow. Well, looking at the shadow, there was two bluish clear lights that came charging at him just kind of out of the blue while he was there. I didn't know what to do because quite honestly, he turned tail and took off.
Oh, yeah.
never went back in that attic again. And he said that's what led him to talk about the paranormal and really, really get him hooked into the paranormal and experiences.
Yeah, man. Like, yeah. First off, 8 years old and seeing a shadow man.
Yeah.
That should set the brown stay in motion.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
But then to have, like, balls of electricity come flying out of it.
Right.
And chase your ass out of there. Right. Well, that's insane.
Do you think it was the eyes? Do you think it was, I mean, I'm not really that. You know, when it comes to Shadowman, I know that you guys have seen them, you know, but I don't remember ever hearing about, like, the eyes.
No.
I've never heard anything like that. I mean, I know there's legends of, Brown Mountain Lights.
Right.
There was, like, people claim to see, like, small balls of glowing electricity, blue energy. And I forget what the theory of that they were. Oh, that was more of an atmospheric thing. But some people also attribute it to possibly aliens,
right?
Yeah.
But also fairies of the forest, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if these shadow men. I mean, have there been any reports of them being able to send these blue lights?
Not that I'm aware of.
I was gonna say, I haven't heard anything.
Because I could see that as either the shadow man's coming at them, and you're looking at eyes, or the shadow man is like trying to assault you or something,
right.
Or
right.
Reaching out, and that's the way it comes across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be absolutely nuts for an 8-year-old kid.
It would be absolutely terrifying.
For any
age,
really.
I would be, like, traumatized. Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't even imagine that.
Right. Just
you know what I mean?
Oh,
I feel
God.
Like, well, he didn't he say he's never went back up to the attic?
Right, exactly.
So the very first time I had sleep paralysis, it obviously happened in my bedroom when I'm in the middle of the night, and that was the last night I spent in my bedroom. I always slept on the couch in the living room after that point.
Oh, wow.
Because I was terrified. I thought I was being attacked. I thought I was being attacked by a demon, but obviously it was just my body reacting in some way, I think, maybe.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yikes.
But yeah, and then we moved a couple years after.
Thank goodness.
That. But I know, because I was tired of sleeping on the couch.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, something, we'll mix it up here. We have somebody sent in a voice message for us, so
what?
We don't have to read anything.
Yay.
We just get to play it. This is from Riku. He listens also to Punch Farm. He's contributed to Punch Farm over there. It was actually a one show there, too. So why we get to all sit back and let Riku, from somewhere in the United States, he's a man of mystery. I don't know where he's at. But let's check him out.
Hey, Paranormal Punchers. It's Riku. So my paranormal story is I was around 5 or 6. I was young. And I was a scared kid, so I would always end up going from my bed to my parents' bed. I was living with my dad at the time, and one night I, you know, moved from my bed to his bed, but in the living room, like in front of the window, there was this light. It was like soft robin's egg blue in the shape of a person. It's like a person made out of blue light. And it freaked me out. And I remember waking up in my dad's bed the next day. Don't remember a lot. You know, I don't know. I was young. So that's my spooky, scary, paranormal story. Bye.
Thanks, dude.
Wow. Thanks. I don't know. Like, in the middle of the night, it's dark out. You're sleepy. You right. just want to get somewhere comfortable
right.
and safe. Mm-hmm. And you see this figure, mm-hmm. this glowing figure in the living room. Oh, my God. I would freak out.
You know, what if that's when you're more... Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm pretty sure John... down in Delaware, he had emailed me about a theory he had with the like a tired brain,
mm-hmm.
Because
more,
you know,
open to things.
Yeah. So I don't know. It definitely would scare me as a kid. That's two kid stories.
I know.
With blue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shit.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Electricity balls or people or
yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would drive me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Now let's see, I do have one more story.
Okay.
Now, this is from Justin B.
Justin B.
Justin B. in Ohio. Probably not Justin Bieber, but Justin B.
This guy's way cooler than
yeah.
Justin.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, if he's responding to us, definitely. So, back in the day, Justin had an old apartment in Jefferson City, Missouri, about 10 minutes away from the Missouri State Penitentiary.
You keep saying it's home state like that. He might just be driving out here to whoop
I
your
know.
Ass.
It's Missouri. That's how. That's
Is that how you say, pronounce it?
Yeah. You don't say Missouri. If you're
Missouri.
Local, you say Missouri. Like you say, you know, like people say Lancaster versus Lancaster.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, well, then I am sorry.
You know. Yeah.
Continue, sir. My bad.
Yeah, I have a whole variety of examples. So you used to live about 10 minutes away from the state pen, and it's currently shut down. But he would often experience the door handles in his apartment, his kitchen,
mm-hmm.
Just the door handles in his bedroom, just shaking violently.
What?
Yeah. And they would do it consistently. They said that he would shake consistently throughout the night, as well as break glasses anytime he ever used his kitchen. And so the glass would end up on his counters.
What?
So it would shake the cabinet so much that they would shake out glasses, they would fall out and break. That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He said it happened to him. There was one time where it happened. He said that it happened so violently that it scared the shit out of him at that time. And the door handle messed him up because it hit him.
Oh.
And he wasn't able to sleep in his room for a few months after that.
Yeah.
Now, a part also what he was saying is that there was another thing where he had gone into recently into this cavern that's by where he lives,
mm-hmm.
And he would hear called what was it the Devil's Icebox, and in the Devil's Icebox he would hear ghostly sounds, voices just coming out of this place. Hmm. Now, anytime you're in a dark cavern where you can't see and you're going to be hearing voices, I mean, part of me raised an eyebrow saying, was there anybody else in there? But the other part of me is saying, while I'm listening to that, I'm kind of leaving kind of quick.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, here's how it goes. Like, hey, Dave, you want to go explore this cavern with me?
Sure.
It's called the Devil's Icebox.
No.
and there you go.
Done. Wow. Well, Justin,
you know,
tell
if you were sleeping in the middle of the night and a door handle was just violently shaking, it's like something trying to get in the room.
Oh my God.
That
would
number
piss
one,
me
you couldn't
off.
Sleep, but.
Yeah. That would piss me off that I couldn't sleep
mm-hmm.
and this was going on. I don't know. Obviously, I would probably find another apartment, but.
That seems like that would be more. Now, this is where a possible distinction might lie between a ghost and more like a true poltergeist. Isn't that the definition of the poltergeist? They're not their spirits, but they're really malevolent, trying to break stuff, shake stuff, and they're not really apparitions that you would see, but just
right.
stuff within the house getting moved around and broken, just trying to mess with you.
I don't know. Hmm. I don't know what the definition would be.
I don't know.
For that.
Could just be an angry djinn.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You
it
know?
Could be.
It's a good thing he doesn't live there anymore.
Yeah, it's a good thing you're out of there. My goodness.
I want to give a quick shout out here to Justin B. I know he just had a situation where somebody was an a-hole to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just like to say, don't let that stop you from pursuing your creative passions. Paranormal Punchers is here to support you.
Yeah.
And in fact, if we could come and kick some ass on the person that was an a-hole to you, we definitely would.
We definitely would.
But keep on being creative. Don't let anybody stop you. And like I said, reach out to us. We'll support you, bro.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right. Thank you, Justin, for sending that in. Appreciate it. Now, we have one more here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit longer one, and I'm going to let Alicia tackle it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. This is from Darren in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
Hi, my name is Darren Swanson. I am a co-lead investigator and evidence manager for a team in West Serial, PA, called Mo Valley Paranormal.
Oh, wow.
Back in 2014, our team did a 13-episode season of a self-produced and funded show called Hometown Haunts, which aired on Fox TV 8 locally. I'm sorry. While filming, we visited several locations around our area, but also traveled from Gettysburg to Bedford and as far west as Clarion. During the filming of the Brenda's Tavern?
Yeah.
Brenda's Tavern episode, we spent 5 hours of time that was so boring and uneventful that I told our team leader, Tyson, that was 5 hours of my life I wish I could have back. It was a total dud. With the exception of a couple of hits on the PSB-7, which I think is total nonsense now. So what is a PSB-7? Is that just like a recorder?
I don't know if that's a spirit box.
Oh, okay.
So what he's saying is, that's a thing that goes...
Okay.
And then so I guess he's saying, after further listening, he's throwing it out the window.
Okay. And a few interesting hits on a proximity sensor. But while reviewing the evidence, we got one of the most interesting and unbelievable pieces of evidence our group has ever captured. While doing a PSB-7 session, Marty and I were sitting at one end of the table and Tyson was at the other end of the table. It looks like a hand, no arm, just a hand, in an open fashion appears to Marty's left and reaches in and appears to take something off the table and returns out of the frame. Like it was holding something. Now, we saw nothing when this occurred and only caught this through very careful and attentive reviewing. We also captured a woman's voice humming in the basement when it was only Tyson, Marty, and I in the basement. We had no women with us on the investigation. I guess the reason for my story, and I have many more, is... never give up on an investigation. You truly never know what you have caught until you go through a review. I lost my place. I'm sorry. Being in a paranormal investigating team is a lot of fun, although it has made me more skeptical than a believer. I know that sounds backward, but from all the investigating and research I've done, I now know the trappings of this field and understand why a skeptical approach is so important. I have seen things and have even been touched and scratched, but don't believe in evil spirits and all of the nonsense that TV and movies puts out there. Thanks for your time, and thanks, Paranormal Punchers, for the opportunity to tell my quick story. Keep up the good work.
Wow.
Thanks, Darren.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
That's awesome. Now, the show he's talking about is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I watched that episode, and it just looks like this hand comes out, does it like a... little grabs him and goes back. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
I think he mentioned it because you guys could go check this out on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Was it called Hometown Haunts, right?
Hometown Haunts, yep.
Yeah, go check it out. He recommended that one and also the Gettysburg episode is like his favorites.
Yeah.
Okay.
Darren, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
For sending us this story. Thank you for, tipping me off to those two episodes. Enjoyed them. Check them out yourself because that hand that he's referencing... It is peculiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea that after he got 5 hours of nothing, mm-hmm. of super dull, that something actually happened, and he wasn't really planning it, he wasn't really expecting it, it just happened, and that just goes to show you just don't know when things are going to show up. That goes to what we talked about earlier when people would we'd hear stories of people going into a haunted asylum, and they're like, we didn't see anything. This sucked. Nothing happened. But you have so many accounts of things happening. It's not on – things don't happen on our time. It happens on their time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's
I know. I wish you could walk into a place and, like, in the first 15 minutes, like, boom, five EVPs.
Right.
You know, yep. I have an apparition on camera.
Right.
We're
exactly.
out. We're out, guys.
Yep. We're good.
No, I mean, you'd be there for hours on end. Yeah.
No, and I like that he said that he approaches it from a skeptical point of view because I feel like you kind of have to. If you go into those places thinking you're going to catch anything that's small that like could possibly, you're going to think that it's haunted or it's an experience. So I like that he's.
Yeah. And he listened to the EVP at Funk.
Yeah.
I wonder if I have it here.
Oh, to the computer.
Say I'll play it.
Yeah.
unless it's going to take too much time to get to, and it's just like dead air.
Yeah.
I'm like, where do I put things? I do have it. Hang on one second, listeners. Let me get it queued up. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. This is the top line podcast.
I know.
Now this is recorded in the basement of Funk, episode 4.
Yes.
Paranormal Punchers. We did that with Brian. He's the brewer down there. Mm-hmm. Funk fact. I didn't do a funk fact this week.
No,
oh,
yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
funk fact. Well, this EVP was recorded by Brian from Funk Brewing, Elizabethtown in Emmaus.
Nice.
They got great beer. They just had a can release today for Double Citrus IPA. Delicious, but strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to listen to this quick.
He was a sweet word about that.
Yeah. But.
So what it was that...
I heard something in the background.
Oh.
Listen to it again.
He was a sweet word about that.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He was a sweet word about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Darren, he had messaged me. He says like, he got to call bullshit on this one. he feels it's just one of the dudes.
Yeah.
Probably.
For me, knowing these guys, I know they weren't attempting to play pranks. Norm is terrified of ghosts in the basement.
Exactly.
Ryan's the one who, goes home and edits it and puts it together. So he's listening to it, constantly. And he just happened to hear that. But again, Darren's trained ears. How many EVPs has he listened to?
Right.
He thinks it's just probably more one of the guys.
Okay.
And they don't realize that they whispered something or said something or made that noise that. I don't know. But again, if I tell you it's like something going, Kale.
Yeah.
You know, it's what it sounds like.
Yep.
Right. So,
right.
Yeah, very interesting. All right. Why don't we take a break? And we'll be right back with some... more of us speaking. All right. Does your basement smell like someone just defecated in it? Are there flies in your house for no explainable reason? Then you might have demons. And that's why Paranormal Punchers invented the Demon Infestation Cleansing Kit. It has everything you need to get rid of those pesky demons once and for all. No experience required. It's so easy a 10-year-old could use it. Don't delay. Order yours today. Just go to ParanormalPunchers.com/shop. That's ParanormalPunchers.com/shop. And we're back.
Again. Take two.
You're wondering, listeners are wondering, what are you talking about?
We
just did 5 minutes of podcasting. I forgot to hit the record button.
Right.
But what I was saying was how much I love doing this podcast because of the listeners. I love the interaction. I love hearing about your paranormal adventures. You missed the part where I was trying to come up with my own teen lit book called My Paranormal Adventures because apparently they're popular. If we write 3 books, somebody will buy it and make 3 movies.
That's right.
So I'm trademarking. It's either My Paranormal Adventures or My Paranormal Diaries. I don't know.
So do they just send that million-dollar check? Do they just send it to Paranormal Punchers?
They could probably send one right now. I'll bang out 3 books.
I'm just saying. Just send the check now. That's all.
Yeah. And just like the part you couldn't hear because I didn't record it, again, going off the radio.
Yeah.
going off the rails.
Yeah.
So to bring us back on track, thank you guys so much. This is why I podcast, to get to interact with just other awesome people, like-minded people. You guys kick ass. Be safe. Take care. Lish?
I just want to thank everybody that sent in their stories. We loved hearing them. Hopefully we didn't butcher our telling of it.
Yeah.
But no, thank you so much. And keep it coming.
Yeah. I really appreciate how these stories, the way they're coming in, there's such a variety in the stories that we're reading and we're hearing about. But even with all of that variety, there's still parallels with people all across the world. People are seeing shadow men. People are seeing, mm-hmm. you know, hearing and seeing Sasquatches out there, and they're actively going and finding to see if they can, you know, find these Sasquatch. There are some situations where kids are getting scared out of the attics and by shadow men, but you're not alone out there. A lot of other people are having these same things, and I just think it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And yes, thank you very much for sending in those stories. We love talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, we talk about all the different topics we do and doing the research, and some of us do research into the various topics. But just hearing all the experiences from everybody else, the personal experiences, it's like there's so much more out there. There's so many of these topics that, you know, we just keep talking to people, we're going to get more and more and lots to talk and investigate.
Speaking of stories, we wrote a comic book.
We did.
And we have one of the most amazing artists to illustrate it for us, at least in my opinion.
Right.
You should check it out. Just go to ParanormalPunchers.com, and you'll find a link to our store. We got a digital version, and we got a printed version. It's almost back from the printers.
Yeah.
But you can pre-order it, because we did get a limited run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super excited about it. I'm super proud of everything that we did and put into it, and can't wait to start writing issue 2.
Yeah, we've got ideas.
The Paranormal Punchers, at least our cartoon versions.
That's right.
Might be taking a trip to the Hollow Earth.
Ooh.
Ooh, I'm ready to pack. Let's go.
That could be fun. You know what? Why don't we let our listeners get back to their day?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are awesome. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. And go out there, discover something paranormal. Make sure you tell us about it.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, that's our, go have your paranormal adventure.
That's right.
And you can write it in your paranormal diary. I better trademark these things.
Wow. Right. Okay.
Yeah, nobody cares. No one's going to steal those ideas. They're not good ideas.
All right.
And remember, if it's not weird,
it's not worth checking out.